Hello, Christians. Stand by for music, worship, humor, joy, creativity, scripture, Frank saw discussing God, food, and much more.
Food? Since when do we talk about food here on the Oven
Express?
Well,
we do sometimes. Don't you remember in December we talked about holiday cooking and cookies and candy, and some really cool cooks came in, and we're sharing some of their recipes and talking food.
You know, that is true. I remember that wonderful program with those girls. It was terrific. You know, it does seem like when we're together with other brothers and sisters in Christ that food somehow is always involved in one way or another.
The only problem with talking about food is it makes me hungry. Scripture has a lot to say about bread and wine and dining together. In fact, it is the fundamental practice for most Protestant denominations to celebrate communion together on a regular basis.
Well, that is true. And we are so blessed at the New City Fellowship Church because we get to have communion every Sunday.
Yeah, I really like that.
I do too.
Yeah. We indeed do. Why don't you explain to our listeners what communion is and why we do it every Sunday?
Okay. Well, would it be fair to say that it's our church family coming together to celebrate at the table the birth and the death and the resurrection and sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for each one of us? It's kind of like a great celebration commanded by Christ to commemorate what God has done for
us. Absolutely, and what has God done for us?
Well, other than saving us from ourselves, yes, and everything, he became sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's from 2 Corinthians.
Right on, dear. What do Christians call that celebration, sweetheart?
Well, usually we call it the Last Supper because it's remembering the time that Christ ate with his disciples before the cross. But it wasn't really a full meal, though, was it?
Probably as full a meal as they ate then. For us, it can be. And certainly the Last Supper with Christ and his apostles was a good meal. I'm sure it was. I never thought about that, but we call it the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see, my dear, God has a lot to say about food.
Well, yes, he does. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Bible talks about food quite a bit. And it seems as if it's not just religious groups that talk about food, but maybe secular groups too. Like, I can't imagine a tailgate party for a ball game or birthday celebration or a family get-together or a friendly gathering of people that food isn't a part of that.
I just saw a cake in the other room. Great big old sheet cake.
I did too. Yeah, it looked pretty good.
You know, I'm getting hungry, but I hope our guest today, Scott Spears, brought some popcorn or snacks.
Or maybe there's some popcorn on the Heaven Express. Here it comes, folks. All aboard.
Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be the Heaven Express? If the Lord came today, could you say I'm ready for the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, my Christian friend, someday we
Amen. You know, I was thinking, honey, you know, Scripture tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So there it is again. All aboard, they call. Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
And you are blessed on the Heaven Express.
I know we are.
Yes, we are blessed on the Heaven Express.
The next segment of our program, we call The Heart of the Composer. Take it away, Brian.
Dear listeners, this evening, we are going to go back to the year 1885 with a gentleman named Carl Boberg. He was 26 years old then, and he was a Swedish minister. And he wrote a poem, which he called, O Mighty God. And it came, the inspiration, from Isaiah 45:18, which reads, For thus says the Lord, Who created the heavens? Who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other. So the words then to Boberg's poem, if you were to literally translate them to English, they would have sounded like this. When I the world consider, which thou hast made by thine almighty word, and how the web of life thou wisdom guideth, and all creation feedeth at thy board, then doth my soul burst forth in song of praise. O great God, O great God. Well, his poem was published, and it was forgotten, or so he thought. Several years later, Carl was surprised to hear it being sung to the tune of an old Swedish melody. But that poem and hymn just didn't achieve widespread fame. Sometime later on, Dr. Edwin Orr heard How Great Thou Art being sung by the Naga tribes people in Assam in India, and he decided to bring it back to America for use in his own meetings. When he introduced it at a conference in California, it came to the attention of music publisher Tim Spencer, who contacted Mr. Hine and had the song copyrighted. It was published and recorded. Now, during the 1954 Billy Graham Crusade in Haringey Arena, George Beverly Shea was given a leaflet containing this hymn. He sang it to himself and he shared it with other members of the Graham team. And, truth be told, it was introduced the following year to audiences at Billy Graham Crusades in Toronto. In the New York Crusade of 1957, it was sung by Beverly Shea 99 times, with the choir joining that majestic refrain, Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! O great God!
Thank you.
not everyone has the blessing of a godly grandfather. There are many who never knew their grandfather at all. This is a segment we call Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa. Here he is, Brian Savage, reading Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa.
When I was young, I always wondered what it would be like to be old. Now that I am old, I try to remember what it was like to be young. I remember grabbing a branch from a broken tree limb and pretended to use it as a cane. Oh man, if someone who had a real cane let me use it, I'd pretend to be Moses. Oh, the miracles and plagues that I could produce with that borrowed cane for 20 minutes. I would put the whammy on my sister, and in seconds, I would move in on her no-bake cookie batter. In seconds. The older I get, though, the more I like it. Oh, everything isn't perfect, but it never has been. The doctor told me that I had to quit eating sugar. It's taken a while to get used to, but I learned a lesson. It's hard to believe that this is true, but I have sincerely learned that the more sugar you eat, the more you crave. That also explains a lot of weight gain over the years. Now I'm satisfied with just a little sugar every once in a while. In fact, if I do eat too much sugar, I'll get ill instantly. I don't see as well as I used to, so that means I can't see all my hair loss, but everyone tells me about it. I tend to think they're exaggerating anyway. What did you say? Hearing loss? Oh, I can hear just fine. My wife calls it selective hearing, and I even like the sound of that. I'm certainly not as young, not as fast and strong as I used to be, but I really like taking my time doing what I'm doing. I do it better. I probably am going to make you jealous now, because when I get weak and I have no strength left, I simply take a nap. Yes, sir, I don't mind getting old at all. The absolute worst fallout about getting old is I've lost so many loved ones who are no longer at my side. That's when I reflect on what David said in the Old Testament when he lost his child. He can't come back to me, but I will go to him. It will be that way for all who trust our Lord. Someday, just around the corner, they are waiting for us. One final note. Scripture tells us that we will someday be restored to a healthy body. Bring it on.
Amen. Yes, Amen. Yes, yes.
Thank you, Brian. That was nice.
That was good.
You know, sweetheart, I've been looking forward to interviewing our next guest for a long time.
Yes, I know, we both. But you know, it really sort of a paradox, honey.
Is it a pair of docks where two boats park?
Okie dokie. It's also a place where ducks and fishermen gather together.
Oh, good one, dear. Where is that scripture verse found?
It's found in Matthew 4:19,
mm-hmm.
And it says, I will make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm. But what did Scott, what did we mean by being a paradox?
Well, Scott Spears is a paradox because it was Scott who invited us to come on the air just about 3 years ago. And now we get to invite him onto the Heaven Express program.
Ta-da! Wow, you're right. Well, let's do that. Introduce to our guests, to our listeners, someone they probably already know.
I bet they do. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio at WWGH 107.1 here in downtown Marion, Ohio.
Wait a minute. Let's do that. Let's do that again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
See how well I do with this. Let's see here. Nope, I didn't do it. I was trying to find
his song.
I tried to find it on the keyboard. There he is, baby.
Oh, there he is. Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. It's always interesting to be a guest. But I should mention, I remember the day that the invitation was extended for you guys to come do this show. And Terry Tackett and I were in the studio together that day. So I can't take all the credit for inviting you on. I made the phone call. But Terry was there that day, and Sean Kraft were all gung-ho for that.
Remember that? That's been almost 3 years.
Three ago. In April.
March.
March. Was it March?
Yeah.
The next program will be
started. 3 years.
Our third year.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Chris, I think, was that your fifth anniversary? Is that what I saw the cake was about, or was that something?
Yeah. It will be June 10th. Will have been on the air 4 years.
Well, how long has WWGH 107.1 been on?
That's four. Four years. 4 years on June the 10th.
June the 10th.
Mm-hmm. The five was for the wrestling.
Yeah, that was that was 5 years we've been doing the wrestling thing.
Wrestlers must not have much of an appetite for cake, because most of us don't.
But yeah.
It is true that you're loved by many, if not all. You must have a lot of great listeners who express their appreciation for you and your programming.
It's always nice. It's always nice when people come up and say they like something you did or they enjoyed something. Yeah, there is a lot of that. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that amazes me most, Scott, about you is
how young he is.
Well, that also, but that's because I'm getting older. Everything is relative to that. But no, your quickness and your alertness to detail, and your questions when you're interviewing your guests. You know, they're so probing, and yet you do them so gently.
Well, it's interesting because I was never able to write questions. I learned that when I first started interviewing people, which I think we'll get into at some point. Mm-hmm. But I don't write questions. Now, if there's something I want to remember to get to, I'll jot that down.
Okay.
But I can't write questions. I can't script an interview. So those are just usually from what the other person says. I'm curious.
See, now that's even better.
Yeah, I'm just, and I'm overly curious, I think.
Well, we do script a lot of our programs, and that's not an easy process, and yet we do that to make our guests comfortable.
I think scripting is, when I started in radio, which I can't believe has been 11 years ago now, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
When I started, I thought that was a good idea for an interview. But there are different types of shows, and everybody has to do what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. There are some situations where it goes better without a script.
Oh, there are.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you never plan something like that.
Well, it's kind of like you have to be fearless because you never know where the next statement is going to take you.
That's right. And if somebody says something that you're not expecting, you want to ask about it.
Well, sure.
So that's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
wonderful. Well, who couldn't love you, Scott, for heaven's sake? We have heard some of the most notable people in the world say how much they love you. My goodness. And just, I don't know, I especially thank Phyllis Diller and you and Jane Meadows and you. I certainly enjoy those interviews when you play them. But I was wondering, do you think you have any enemies out there?
You know, I don't.
What a terrible question.
Yes. No, it's a good question. When I was looking over earlier on the bullet points today, I like that question. That question jumped out because I don't think I've ever been asked that. So I like the question. I don't think I have enemies in the people I interview, or at least they don't tell me that they're having an awful time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody has enemies, because I think sometimes it's even unintentional that people don't like you for some reason or another, and that's okay. I mean, when you're in a public business where people are listening, where people are hearing, I'm sure not everybody likes everything you do 100% of the time.
Sure.
And you know, you have to evaluate the criticism, consider if it's valid, and do what you do with it.
I know sometimes first impressions are totally wrong. It can be something, nothing more difficult to understand than, you look like someone I knew once and I didn't like.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not.
Oh, this is just saying that. Oh, okay, I'm with you.
Andre, you don't look like anybody I ever knew before, but if you did, and I knew someone who looked like you, and I didn't like him, then I might come across when I meet you the first time with a rather negative attitude.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I think sometimes competitors get a little sharp-elbowed and say some things that are not very nice, but that's okay. It doesn't keep me awake at night because I'm more concerned with what's going on today. I am a tomorrow person. I really look forward to tomorrow. You know, even when I do a bad show, I think, well, I could have done that better. But, you know, I'm coming back tomorrow, and we'll do better tomorrow.
That's an interesting statement, Scott Spear, because Christians should be tomorrow people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we live.
I can't fix what I've already done. It's done. I can't.
None of us can.
I can't undo it, no. But I can learn,
and
I can look to tomorrow.
You know, along the lines of if you have any enemies, I was online this afternoon before we came to do the program, and there was a little, you know how your news sends a little bleep in? And it was a bleep concerning a tweet that President Trump had just done about you.
Oh!
About what?
He loves me. He loves me.
Yes, he does.
President Trump loves me.
Well, Scott, you're regularly picking on Terry Tackett and Sean Kraft.
That's true. I'll admit
what would they say? Maybe we get Terry in here now.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
In the other room.
They are two of my favorite people. And I sometimes get the credit for being the manager around here and so on and so forth, but they are as well. Sean and Terry do so much, and I can sit with them and have no plan of what's going on and laugh. And there have been times where terrible things have been going on, and I can come into the office and sit with either one of them and just laugh and about nothing. And I also want to include Adam Lepp in that, who's also a manager here, who does so much to make the internet and the obituaries work. And Adam, I like Adam. I have a great appreciation for what Adam does as a manager. So sometimes I get the credit, but they are definitely in the forefront more than I am. I just do a show.
I want Adam to know that, Adam, I've been dying to be on your mortuary announcement.
No, you don't. You don't. He says that. He does them so well, though.
He really does. I'll
tell you a funny story. When I first got in radio, one of my first jobs was doing the obituary report at WMRN. And I was just doing them. And one day I was out doing a remote. And the guy walked up to me and he goes, "Are you Scott Spears?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh," he said, "I listen to you all the time." And I'm thinking it'll be about an interview or a news report or something I did. And he says, "You know, you read those obituaries so happily, I just can't wait to die."
Oh, Jesus. What a great compliment.
I didn't realize I was reading them with the same tone of voice that I would read the news. But you do have to be somber in an obituary report.
Yes.
And that I was doing it, and I didn't realize it.
Was he being sarcastic?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But it was okay.
Did you change?
I did, because it and that's why I praise Adam for doing them the way he does, because he does them in the right tone of voice, and that's tough. I screwed it up.
Gosh, here I thought you did wonderful.
I got better. I got better.
And you're right. Adam does a great job.
Great job.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Are you willing to bury your soul here today, Scott? How long have you been in the broadcast industry? How long did it take you to get into it? Do you have a degree in broadcast engineering? Tell us how that all came about.
I'll tell you how it came about. It's an interesting story, and most of that answer is no. I've never taken a journalism class. I've never taken an engineering class. I was not a regular on the school newspaper. I didn't do any of that. What happened was, I'm an education major. I went to college to be a teacher and finished, have my bachelor's degree in education, and I went out and I started to teach. And this was about 12 years ago. And I was teaching at one of the schools, and it wasn't because of the school or the kids or anything, but I wasn't particularly enjoying the job. I didn't think it fit me exactly as well as I thought it would. And one day I was in the teacher's lounge, and there was a newspaper there. And there was a job for a reporter at the Marion Star. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting, because I wrote a lot of papers in college. I thought that'd be good. But it said you needed experience or you needed a journalism degree, and I didn't have either. So I went back to Ohio State, and I said, what would I have to do to get a major in journalism? And the advisor said, well, before you do that, why don't you go do a 10-week unpaid internship at some journalistic endeavor? And that way, you'll know if you like it or not. Then come back and get the degree.
What good advice.
It was good advice, and I'm glad they did this, because I ended up at WMRN. I think they just were the first one that called. So I went there, and basically the first couple of days did nothing, filed papers, you know, nothing broadcasting. And one day the guy didn't show up who did the county commissioner news reports.
He just didn't show up?
He did. There was a problem. Oh, he came back, but he couldn't be there that morning. And they said, can you go down and do this? And I said, where do you go? I've never been to a commissioner's meeting. And I went down, and I did the report. And then it was decided that this person was not going to do this anymore, and could I do it every Tuesday and Thursday, which I did. And then they gave me they said, well, you know, you write those stories. We need more voices on the air. Why don't you voice your commissioner's stories? So I did that. And right before the 10 weeks was up, they asked me to go. We were having a mayoral election at that time. And they didn't have anybody to go out and interview the mayoral candidates. And they asked me to go do it. So I did. And at the end of the internship, they were signing off on my paper. And they said, when can you start?
Whoa.
And that's that.
Wow.
That's how it started. So no, I'm a novice. I don't have any journalistic background at all.
When I was very young, I considered a career in broadcasting, but when I discovered how poorly it paid, I was shocked.
You know, the pay is not great. Certainly when you start, the pay is not great. Mm-hmm. But it was always, and still to this day, money is not an issue. It's the challenge. Do what you love and you never work a day in your life.
That's true.
Yeah, and you can't take money with you. I've never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I'd have made more money. They have other regrets, but not money.
It'd be nice if they said, I wish that I left Scott Spears more money.
Well, that would be okay. That would be okay, because I'm still around. Sure.
Yeah,
right. Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my dear.
All right. Well, go ahead and tell us, if you would, a little bit about your family background.
Well, I've been asked this before, but I am from Marion. I've always stayed in Marion. And my mother was born, they're all Ohio people. Mm-hmm. So I have one brother and grandparents and uncles and aunts and things like that. But it's all been in Ohio, and I've always been in Marion, lived in Marion.
Was it Dick Cavett who asked you that question?
Yeah. No, Charles Grodin. Charles Grodin asked me that.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
He was totally surprised by it. He said, you don't live in Marion, do you?
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I have had offers to do other things, and I always turned them down. So, there have been offers.
Marion seemed pretty special to you.
Yeah, I would say. I think, I look at we mentioned it earlier, and this is just luck, as near as I can tell, that I've gotten to talk to the people who I've gotten to talk to, and the people who've come here and sat and done shows with me. Now, to me, that's luck. Would that have been any different in New York or Los Angeles or Cleveland or Columbus? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it happened here, and I don't have any regret on that.
All right, here's a tough question.
All right.
Not even in your script.
All good. All right. Let's go. I'm ready for it.
Everybody has bad days.
Yeah.
Everybody has exceptionally good days. Can you think of a really bad day when you were broadcasting?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of them.
Give us your work.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was adding, it's funny, because I 11 years I've been on the air now, and I was trying to add this up via 2 hours a day, 11 years, 52 weeks a year. How many interviews? I mean, we're talking 7,000-something people.
And you can't even remember sometimes, did I interview this?
Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't, yeah. Especially from the early times of I was interviewing. But I'll tell you, the word had nothing to do with the interview, but there is and not so much anymore, but when I started, there was an axiom in this business that you have, the only way you don't show up is if you're dead. You know, you show up no matter what's going on. And I remember going in when we had a what was deemed a blizzard in 2008 by myself. I remember being sick on the air, nauseous, still doing that. You had to go in. You had to do it. And I remember asking the guest I had on in the first hour if they could go across the street and get me some Pepto-Bismol, because I felt so awful. But you show up, and you never let the people know that you're having a bad day.
Did you have a mute button?
You know, I can always turn the mic off. Yes. I can always turn the mic off. But I made it. It's odd, because when the microphone goes on, you get up. You go up.
In the blizzard of 78, I was outside working in it.
Yeah, you do it.
Did you get captured there to the station? Did you end up staying there 3 days?
No, I tried to drive home, and I ended up on the side of the road. So a cop took me home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So that was nice. But yeah, there have been, oh boy, I don't know if I'd do it again.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I believe this is true, but I don't know if you want me to spill the beans out there that you are still a bachelor.
That's true.
Oh, it is true. That's true. You even admitted to it.
Oh, yeah, I'll admit
to
that.
Okay, girls, we heard that.
Yeah, but see, to me, a lot of people look at that, I have found, and I don't know why, as a negative. Now, for me, it's been a positive, because I haven't always been. I was never married, but I haven't always lived alone or anything of that nature. But for me, it was... I was always busy doing things, and I always felt I was neglecting things that were going on. So I was never good at that. So I don't think I will... I can't imagine, because I just wasn't good at it.
Well, I remember you talking on the air with other guests about marriages that have lasted decades and decades. You see them out there, and you see people... In fact, we had a little discussion a little while ago about when I was young, thought about getting into broadcasting. One of the reasons was it paid so poorly, and I wanted to raise a family. You probably have a tough time. What I didn't know, Brian, I'd have had a tough time raising a family on that income, but when I went in the Air Force, I made $90 a month.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, the money has never entered my mind. The problem was, it comes back to that idea about the only reason not to show up is being dead. So you stay very busy. And even when you're not on the air, you're booking guests, you're thinking about things you want to do, you're thinking about things down the road. That's not conducive, I don't think, to a good relationship.
Well, one thing about it, if he showed up dead, we can do a quick obituary brief right
here. Slip it in.
Yeah, make sure Adam's here that day.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you want your listeners to know how old you are?
Oh, yeah. People have said happy birthday to me on the air. That doesn't bother. 37. And it's funny, because 11 years ago when I got in, I was 26. And boy, that was young, is what people used to say. How are you? And after a couple years, when I'd had these celebrities on, they'd say, well, you have to be older than that. But no, that's it.
But 37 years is young, and
yes,
yet
it is.
You wait long enough, you'll get older.
I think so. I hope.
If you live long enough.
I hope.
Have you ever done any interviews with children? How do you like working
with children? In the early days of this station, as a matter of fact, the first 6 months, we had kids on a few times. And I like it. I like it. But it's a different type of interview. But it's fun.
That can be pretty hairy, too. You remember the old Art Linkletter show?
Yes.
Kids say the darndest thing. That's sort of what we've a pattern is just what that kids say segment we do on our program. Can you remember any segments any incidents in your life of a story you want to share about what that kid might say?
Well, I'll tell you something that sticks out in my mind is that it's funny you mentioned that in early one of when I did my first batch of celebrity interviews 11 years ago, I did three in one day. And the first three were Jack Klugman, Dr. Joyce Brothers, and Art Linkletter.
What a combination.
And Art Linkletter was on quite a bit back then, before he died. We had him on a lot. So that's a name I remember. But with the kids, there was a song, it's a funny song, and it's called Gus the Gopher, and it's an old, old song. It's a goofy song. But I was at one point dating a girl who had kids. And every so often I would go into that little Gus the Gopher song, and one day I heard the little girl singing the song. She had just picked it up, you know? And it's a funny little song, and I remember thinking, you know, kids are bright. And I always think we don't give them enough attention. And I hate talking down to kids. I would talk to a kid just like I'm talking to you. There'd be no difference.
I remember one
me
program.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I remember one program you had on this last season where I don't remember the lady's name, but she sang a song called All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus?
Yes, Gayla Peavy.
Gayla, and how popular that situation turned out for her life and career and for decades of kids who liked that old song. Yeah, kids can say the darndest thing and they can be so much joy. Scott, I was going to do a song. Sometimes we'll write songs that are real stories from adults. And one of the songs that I was going to do, I'm not going to do it now because we'd rather take the time and talk to you. But it's called The Potter's Son, and it's a song about, and folks, I'll do that for you sometime here soon. Do you remember The Potter's Son?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, the woman... husband was standing right in front of her. He said to her, apparently he was having some kind of heart attack or something. And when she saw him, he was white and pale. And he says to her, dear, I'm going to hell. And the very next thing that happened was he fell face first on the kitchen floor. Do you believe in that there's a heaven or hell? I know you have a lot of guests on here.
We do a lot of talk about that. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about what this really all lies in. And I think it lies in the word faith. And faith is a belief that you have that something will happen, no matter what it is. And to me, I've never been afraid to say, I don't know. And to be honest, I haven't died. I don't know. So can I say for sure? No, but I don't have any fear of anything. And I would think if I believed in hell, I would probably have some kind of fear. So I don't know that I do believe in that because I figure one day I won't be here. But I don't think I'll be in a bad place.
That question comes up a lot in one of the responses that I have to that question myself would be that in a song I wrote, maybe you've heard the song, and in the lyrics in the song go, someone asked me what I'd ask for with my last dying breath. Remember the answer?
I don't remember the answer.
I'd ask for more air.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's great having you with us today. Is there anything you'd like to sum up with? We just have... Now, you probably never get the opportunity to say hi to anybody. Do you ever do that?
You know what? I'll end with this as I'm watching the clock. I'll end with this funny story. When I was in radio, one morning when I was at WMRN very early on, I had two guests on, and they were both about the same age that I was. And a matter of fact, I think they had both went to college with me is why I had them on, and we were talking about a current event that had to do with school. And I remember over the course of the morning, we were taking phone calls, and at one point, the guy that was in with me, his mom called in, and she said, oh, I just want to say hello to my son, Chris. And then about 10 minutes later, a woman called in and she said, I just want to say hello to my daughter, Stephanie. And then about 10 more minutes passed and a lady called in and she said, well, Scott, she said, when is your mom going to call in? And I said, you think mom listens to the show? And that's, it becomes old hat, I think, after for somebody who does it every day. I don't think anybody can take me every day, but anybody who is listening, who likes me, I'll say hello to you, and if you don't like me, I'll still say hello to you. Maybe there are family members listening tonight. Maybe it's happening.
Do you have quite a few family members?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Life is good and full. There's no sad stories for me.
So, ladies, I want to remind you, this fellow, only 37, he's a bachelor, and he's probably rich.
Oh, yes. Loaded.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Scott Spears, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
so much, Scott.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you do.
Oh, and folks, to you out there, we thank you for joining us, too. Mm-hmm. It's always a great pleasure to be here. And whether we're on the air...
Or in a plane.
Or in a car.
Or on a train.
It's our prayer we meet again. Until then, may the one who blesses
bless you very, very much.
God bless you all. Thanks again for joining us.
Good night.
You're listening to